and welcome to Wonder Pod, episode 143. We're back. Before we start, I need to give a quick anti-shout-out. This isn't a good shout-out, but I don't particularly want to cover anything. I just would like to say a couple words, and then we'll jump right into what we've been playing, which I know you all love. Ralph Nader, at one point in time, you were an extremely helpful gentleman and advocate, and now you've become a doddering old dipshit. Please, for the love of God, find the old folks' home that Jack, what's his face, is in. Damn it, lost his last name. And join him there. You're just a sputtering dipshit who's coughing dust. You're not helping things. Fuck off. Okay. Now, and I'm going to just leave it like that. You're going to have to go look up what he said, but let's just put it this way. It had to do with violets. Now let's go to what we've been playing. Warner Brothers Looney Tunes jokes for the win. Who wants to go first?
Doesn't matter, man.
I don't have much this week, so.
Yeah. Why don't you go, John, because neither do I. All right. You go, and then two of us will go.
All right. So before I start, I just wanted to say that I'm very a great weight has been lifted from my shoulders today. I found out that J.J. Abrams is directing the new Star Wars, so I'm hoping that that means that my son, who will this will be his generation Star Wars, will actually get a decent trilogy out of it. So that being said, I will move on to the video games. I don't have a whole lot of interesting things to say this week in terms of what I played. Like, nothing really new. The old favorites, Super Mario Brothers U, I played pretty well the most of, just because I'm trying to collect the star coins from each level. I've gotten into 5 of the 8 worlds now, or maybe 6, I think. So before I get too much further into those too deep, I want to backtrack and get those star coins, because I'm a little bit obsessive like that. It really bothers me when you can look at the map, in the menu, and look at your progress, and you see a summary of your star coin collection for each level of each world, and when there's things missing, it just drives me nuts. So I've been playing that a lot in the evenings, usually a cycle of an episode of Breaking Bad followed by Mario Brothers U. So it's been pretty good. But otherwise, I have played a little bit of Dishonored. I'm at a point now where I'm ready. It's still very early in the game, granted, and I'm at a point in the game where I now have my magic. My first couple of spells. I have my my runes, and what are called the bones? Not dry bones. Well, there's these bones that give you that they give you slots to put various upgrades and skills into, like how you can use the white rats in the city that are I mentioned last week, the city's infested by a rat plague. So the white rats are your friends if you have this equipped on your your stats. There's another one that makes it a little tougher. Another one that lets you if you find rats that to eat, like sometimes you go around and people have rats put on like skewers on a little grill on a fire, and if you eat them, you know they actually replenish your health rather than really mean nothing. But I'm at a point now where I'm ready to jump into my first real mission as the assassin, but that's as far as I got. So again, not a whole lot to talk about. Just, you know, I'm ready to go, but I've been with Mario U. I've been just been distracted. I got a couple of old NES games in the last week or two. First, I cashed in some Club Nintendo coins. And for those of you who don't know, for Nintendo published games, you can register them on Club Nintendo, and coins go into your account, and you can exchange those coins for silly things like pencil cases, game holders, new stylus, designer stylus for your DS, or tote bags, that kind of jazz. But in the last couple of months, or maybe the last year or so, they've had a feature where you can exchange them for games. So every month or every quarter or something like that, they have a new selection of games. So this week, I felt like picking up Punch-Out!, the original Punch-Out. Well, not the original Mike Tyson's Punch-Out, unfortunately. It's Punch-Out featuring Mr. Dream, and it's on 3DS. So that's pretty cool that I had that on the go. I played it a little bit. I just beat the Italian guy, in the guy right before King Hippo. Anyway, a couple of fights. Looks great on the small screen. You know, there's no 3D. There's no enhancements. It's actually just the NES game, so that's fine. And because Punch Out is great, you know, I've always enjoyed that game. And I also got yesterday Balloon Fight. I guess we'll be talking about the Wii U in a little while, and the announcements that came out of the Nintendo Direct. But one of the things that came out was that they're going to have a promotion for the 30th anniversary of the NES. That they're going to have a game for 30 cents on the Wii U shop eShop each month. So this month was Balloon Fight. I think next month is F-Zero. Amongst the games, it's like Super Metroid. There's Yoshi. There's a couple of others. So I played a bit of Balloon Fight, and it reminded me a lot of when I was a kid. And I'm not sure if I mentioned it on the show before. I must have. But when I was a kid, I got my mom got me a 42-in-1. Which is one of those old cartridges for your NES that had these bootlegged versions of NES games. You know, it's the actual game, but slightly changed, or the name slightly changed to somehow protect them from copyright infringement. Like Mario Brothers, not Super Mario Brothers, but Mario Brothers, the single screen game, was called Ramio Bros. So somehow that made it okay. Yeah, and they had a bunch of different things. Excite Bike was on there, and Pac-Man, and a bunch of stuff. But Balloon Fight was there, and when I was a kid, I played Balloon Fight a lot. I did notice that my skills had depleted a lot since I was a kid, because I used to do pretty good and get quite far, and especially in that Balloon Trip or Balloon Flight mode, which is very similar to the Balloon Trip that's on Nintendo Land, where you use the stylus to make yourself fly through the sparks and travel from right to left. It's just like that, but with the buttons, of course. So you know, I wouldn't say I'll be playing a lot of Balloon Fight in the coming weeks, but it's something that I can, you know, mess around with. You can transfer the gameplay from your television to the gamepad, and you can make adjustments to various control options. And while you know NES games, you know it's D-pad and B and A. I guess when you get into later games, if they start rolling out like N64 or SNES games, you know, you'll have an option to play with the configuration of your controls, which is kind of cool. So finally, I want to talk about what I skipped over last week, because last week I was talking too much, and maybe I've talked too much already, but you have to bear with me. So for Christmas, I got, not for Christmas, but for Boxing Day sale, I should say, I got a new Sony 3D TV. It's a 24-inch monitor that comes with the glasses, comes with the game, the HDMI cable, and it was only $100, so I really couldn't turn it down, and so I played that one night. I mean, truthfully, this TV is actually my new kitchen smaller television to go up, you know, next to the table, and not really use the 3D capacity at all, but I wanted to try it out and see against a few of the 3D games that I do have, which are really games that had, you know, extra 3D modes more so than I bought them for 3D, because I really didn't buy them for that. So just to quickly go through them, and I won't talk about each game because I'm pretty sure I've talked about them in some form or other in the last in the time I've been on the show. So first I played Super Stardust HD, which is quickly a twin stick shooter in the style of Geometry Wars, but you're you fly around a 3D planet, and so I really thought it was really cool the way the 3D effect was. You didn't notice it so much at first, but it was when like what happens in the game, a big meteorites kind of land on the planet and start orbiting, and you gotta blow them up with your laser or your weapons. Well, when I started carving out holes inside these really large meteorites and or asteroids, I guess maybe you can start carving holes and you can see the depth into the hole out the other side. It's with a 3D effect. It's really, really cool. Otherwise, it wasn't a big noticeable thing, but that one really, you know, really popped for me. I played Wipeout HD, which is an F-Zero type clone. It looked pretty cool too. You know, things move so fast that you really don't pick up on the 3D so much. I didn't think it was quite as smooth as Super Stardust, but it was pretty good. But at the time, I thought I was probably too close to the screen to really. If I sat, had been able to sit back a bit and kind of take it all in at once, maybe it would have been a bit better. I played some of Shadow of the Colossus HD from the collection. The 3D made it look really, really good. Like that horse just looks like it's right there, right in front of you. You can reach out and grab it. So, and you know, because it's the HD collection, the frame rate doesn't take quite the bad dips as it used to do on the PS2. Like things don't slow down as much. The controls are still kind of wonky, but graphically, it just looks way superior in 3D. I was actually quite shocked how much of an improvement it was. The game that came with the television was called Motor Storm Apocalypse, and that's a racing game as well, with a variety of vehicles. It's not just like four wheelers and bikes and stuff, but there's cars and that there too. And surprisingly, for the game that comes with the 3D TV, the 3D didn't really pop to me at all. It was okay at times, but not really that impressive. But when you're racing in that game, like there's these random obstacles that kind of pop up and you don't have a chance to avoid them. It really felt like it felt kind of cheap, and you really had to memorize the track more so than be able to react to the track, if you know what I mean. And the characters, like the idea is that the apocalypse has happened and you're racing through this blown out city in various places. But everybody is like a real bro, a real dude, like, you know, way too cool for school, and they're all dressed up in these, you know, not as bad as Mad Max or something like that, but just, you know, typical post-apocalyptic wasteland type scenario and setting, and just kind of got annoying, and I didn't really care for it so much. And finally, I popped in Uncharted 3, which looked really cool. Not super popped out in terms of the 3D, but it kind of added, you know, the depth that you're kind of looking for. I wish I had played a different level than the one I did, which was in the opening scene in the bar where you had that fight. It looks really good, but I think if it was an more open space with where the depth could really play into it, I think it might look a little bit better. So maybe someday I'll bring it downstairs again and hook up the PS3 and give it another shot. Anyway, it's, you know, the TV seems it's good for the price. I didn't have an opportunity to try any of the split screen or the non split screen co-op play of anything, because it has this option where if you look at the TV at two different angles, you see two different things. Like rather than split screen on a television, you get the whole, like, each person gets the whole screen to themselves. And I didn't see that happen. I didn't really try it out on anything. Because I kind of forgot, but it's there, you know. For $100, can't go wrong for all the stuff that comes included. So yeah, you know, if you can get it for $100, get it. So that's what I've been playing.
Mr. Gleason, actually, hold on, John. Is this the monitor that they were touting as the greatest entry level 3D thing a couple years back at E3 that was like about three times as much as you paid for it? It was only like a couple hundred.
No, it debuted at 500.
Was it 500 really for that piece of shit?
Yeah, oh yeah, big time. I that's why I was amazed. Like that price dropped to $400 pretty quickly, and then I've been watching it go down and down and down and down, and until this Boxing Day sale was $100, and you know, yeah, all right, I'll get that. I need a new TV in my kitchen. So,
God, it's nice to know the rest of the world dislikes 3D as much as I do. Because I said when Sony went with this big 3D push, it wasn't going to work, right? I probably said it all, but now I've modified it to right away. so, yeah, how the mighty have fallen. But hey, at least Sony made some money on it. But I thought that was the same one when you mentioned it last week.
I mean, 24-inch TV, for, you know, to play HD stuff on, like, you know, as a gamer, it might be good for a small room, but I think... I can't see myself playing much mini games on anything much smaller than my 40-inch anyway. You know?
Well, you know, it's funny because I do play, on occasion, I do play my 360. I actually have done it with my PC, too, on the 40, I think it's a 40 or 44-inch, and I actually still like PC monitors. I think it's because I've been a PC gamer, PC user for so long. Some games I like on the 44-inch, but I never was a couch gamer, apparently, because sometimes I like the couch, but most of the time I prefer my desk chair sitting right here with all the rest of my crap. And this is the monitor that I use is 24-inch HD. It does leave some stuff to be desired. I think in 3D, if I was actually going to put on glasses and put up with it, wearing the glasses to play, yeah, maybe I'd want it on a bigger TV.
Mm-hmm.
But that's cool, though, if you only got it for like $100.
Yeah, can't go wrong for the price.
Nope, and a little kitchen TV, those are always nice, too. Popping in there if you want to watch something 3D on Blu-ray, there you go.
Well, I'm eating my Kraft dinner, yeah.
Exactly. Glacinator, what have you been playing this week besides getting back into the swing of school?
They released a new playlist on Halo 4 this week. And what it is they're basically playtesting some new user-created Forge maps. And for the most part, I like them better than most of the normal maps, and I like them a lot better than the new DLC maps that they released about a month ago. The maps are a lot smaller. The DLC maps were too large, and the playlists that they were attributed to didn't have enough players, so they felt empty, and it just felt off. But these new maps are nice and small. They're close quarters. It's quick. Games don't last long at all. And the thing that I like most about them is that they have all of the weapons now. I know you guys have heard me complain before that Halo 4 doesn't have like correct weapon drops. Like they're being really stingy with the weapons they put on the map. But with these new maps, like stuff will actually spawn. They're using some of the new guns that they weren't using in multiplayer before, like the beam rifle and sticky stuff and other things. So I really like these new maps. I've been playing them a lot. I tried to play with Pat and G last night, but there was some weird connection issue where I could play by myself, but I couldn't play with them. I don't know. It didn't make any sense. So if you have Halo 4, I definitely suggest trying out this playlist. I mean, there's like already like 10,000 people just on this playlist tonight because the other playlists are so incredibly boring. Halo 4 really dropped the ball in playlists for me. I mean, there's not really any game types to do as opposed to the multitude that we're to do in 3, and so that's sort of disappointing. But also, last weekend, I had the chance to try out a very odd game, and that game is called Tokyo Jungle. And my roommate has it on his PS3, and he has it on PlayStation Plus. And basically, the premise of the game is it's basically describing the food chain, more or less. What it is the game is set in like a post-apocalyptic Tokyo, where there are no humans and there's just animals. You can either play by yourself or you can play with a friend. And what you do is you start off playing as a Pomeranian dog. And you basically go around and you can either eat other animals or you can eat plants if you're a herbivore. And you basically have to try to survive. So it's a survival game. And as you go through the jungle, through the city, it gets more and more like decrepit. And there's poisonous areas, and you know things will try to chase you down, and you have to make sure you find a mate before you get too old, or so you can pass on your DNA to the next generation and keep on living. So it's really more suited for a single player experience, because when you play with two players, you can be sort of detrimental when you're both trying to find a mate, and you can't mate. Two guys can't mate. You understand what I'm saying? But
no, keep going. I want to hear how bad you fucked that up. Two guys can't mate the same monkey at the same time in the same room. That sounds like an interesting evening.
I will not continue that train of thought.
Damn it.
But you can either play as the same species, or you can play as two different species, which is interesting. But it's not good to play as two different species because you can't, like, a dog cannot mate with a cat. I don't know if you knew that out there, people out there, but it's true. So it's better to play as the same species. But it's really funny because you can get some really interesting combos of animals in there. My roommate and I played a game where I was an alligator and he was a giraffe. And it was hilarious because you're on a team and you're playing together. Like, there's this alligator and this giraffe just, like, romping through the city, like, beating up, like, jaguars and like, cheetahs and gorillas. Like, it the animations for the animals, they're realistic. But because they're realistic, it just looks so ridiculous because it's just the idea of a giraffe and an alligator teaming up to beat up some dogs is just hilarious to me. We had some pretty funny moments when we were playing. We survived for about 55 years, which is about 3 hours straight of just not dying and passing on your generation's DNA. And we got to a point where we'd survived so long that all the other animals had, like, evolved, like, super evolved. And so we were playing as two beagles, and everything else had, like, we ran into a herd of lions, basically. And so us being dogs, we just ran away, and we hit on top of a car, and the lions couldn't get on top of the car. But there were so many lions in this area of the city that, like, it was just, like, a pulsating wave of just fur below the car, and we had no idea how to get out of there. We just had to try to jump for it and run for our lives. It was really fun. Like, it wasn't, like, scary or anything, but it was just it was exciting. And so we had gone into 55 years, and we were both starving for food. We needed food right away, and there weren't any animals nearby. So we're like, okay, whatever the next animal is around this corner, we're going to have to kill it out of necessity. And we were really worried it was going to be a lion. And so we turned the corner, and around the corner is a freaking dinosaur, like a little velociraptor-looking thing. We're just like, what the? There's dinosaurs in this game? And so me and my friend took down this dinosaur as dogs and ate it, and it was awesome. But then 5 minutes later, we turn the corner again, and we run into a herd of ostriches. I'm like, okay, ostriches. We just killed a dinosaur. We can kill ostrich. And then we just got raped by these ostriches. Like, they pecked us to death. We died in, like, 5 seconds. And so, like, our 3 hours of playing was just, like, demolished in the blink of an eye by a freaking skinny bird. It was ridiculous, but I mean, the game is so odd that you can't not like it. So I mean, if you really like weird freaking stuff, I definitely suggest this to you. So that's what I've been playing.
You know, though, I like that. I like that oddity of the animals, because in Worm, one of the toughest animals is one of the simplest in Minecraft, and it gets new players all the time. A wild boar, Glacinator. You look at the wild boar, you think, oh, it'd be easy, and it kicks your ass in 10 seconds. And it takes a really high fighting skill to kill him. So I kind of like the oddness of, hey, we killed a velociraptor, how ridiculous, and then get pecked to death by a group of ostriches that sometimes kill themselves because they're stupid. I heard good things about that game, but I'm gonna have to check it out a little more, because that's the most in-depth I've heard about it.
Yeah, just look up some gameplay videos of, like, really weird animals. Like, the weirder the animal you can think of, the more funny it looks.
Is like, it?
Yeah, it's hippos. It's really amusing.
Is it just PlayStation 3?
Yeah, I think it's just PlayStation 3.
That's what I thought. That's all right, though, eventually.
To the PC, but I don't know.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Unless it's one of the in-house Sony developers, I imagine it'll ooze its way to Android, PC, Xbox Live, something, eventually. As to me, speaking of Worm, that's all I played this week, for the most part, because I founded my own village, as I told you all last week, or I should say, as I bored you all to death with last week. That actually requires a lot of time, a lot of effort. I just don't know what to say. It's not like I'm not going to work. I'm sitting here in my boxer shorts for 87 hours a day. Not that a day has 87 hours. You know, catheter strapped on in the whole 9 yards. But the game is just fun. I enjoy the challenge. And so until something comes along that's better, whether it be Android, PC, 360, whatever, I'm going to keep right on playing it. But look at it this way. It's going to make a shorter what we've been playing for me. I also played some more Subway Surf. I really love that on Android. It's kicking the pants. Played some more Need for Speed Most Wanted.
I actually turned on my Xbox. Did I do anything besides that re-up Xbox Live with the code? No, I don't think so. I also actually logged into Guild Wars 2, but then I realized I had something else to do, and so I logged right back out. So that's all we've been playing. We said last week that we were going to talk about the Steam Box, and I kind of skipped it, partly because we had enough other stuff going on, and partly because I just really didn't know where to take the conversation. I mean, it was John's kind of been the force behind this topic, but I really don't know what to think. I think the first thing I want to ask you guys, if you don't know, let me back up a step. If you don't know, at CES, Steam finally quit lying and announced that they're going to make their own console. It's going to be a great console. It's going to be like the PC Evolved. It's going to run on Linux. Outside of that, we don't know too many of the other specs, or at least I haven't been able to dig up any. There will be more details when they feel like it. And so on and so forth. John, have paid more attention to this than I have, because it's just a nuisance to me. Have they announced when they're thinking about crapping it out?
The release date?
Yeah.
I don't think so. Not that I remember reading, anyway.
Okay. I guess the first thing I want to talk about is, let me take another step back, and I apologize. Are you done now, you piece of junk? Sorry, arguing with my tablet. Then also came out that I showed these guys. This came to me from Slashdot, which is generally just a bunch of paranoid conspiracy theorists wearing tinfoil helmets, but was for once somewhat useful. Steam is now being used by thousands of gamers running a Linux OS, and Valve has gotten to the point where they're happy to start urging Windows users to make the switch. Proof that comes from the Join the Beta promotion on the homepage of Steam, suggesting you try Linux. They even give you a download link to Ubuntu 12.04 LTS, which removes yet another barrier to entry with fuck off. So it's obvious that the Linux thing as part of the Steam Box is not going away. Is the reason I just crapped that out in a real hurry. I guess the first thing, and John, we'll start with you. These fuckers are liars. They denied. We're hiring hardware engineers for Steam Big Picture. Can we believe a damn thing they say anymore at this point, in your mind?
Probably not, but I think we've had this conversation or something similar to this before about whether or not, is no news better than giving away details, like all the speculation and stuff. It builds up hype naturally, are you doing it? No. Or if there's any kind of halfway admission at all, it just adds fuel to the fire. And once you put it out there, then it's out. And then you get criticism, perhaps, rather than hype. You know what I'm saying? Now,
right.
I agree with you. They're lying.
Right,
but it's totally on purpose.
Right, but and I'm aware we've had this conversation before, but you got to have a lead in. But this is twice with these fuckers. First, I'm never working with a PS3. I'm never working with a PS3. My fat belly button fall out if I ever work with a PS3. And here he comes, waddling out on stage. Oompa, loompa, doompity-doo. I didn't plan on being this harsh to Mill, but that's where I'm going. That's why I'm bringing it up again. Because it's like two strikes and you're almost out with me. I'm not quite ready to just stop talking about anything Valve is doing, especially like software side, because somebody that's not batshit eating crazy could produce another cool game like, Left 4 Dead, Counter-Strike, Portal, Half-Life. But does this being the second time matter more to you, or do you still just chalk it up to this is unfortunately how you build up hype in this day and age of stupid people?
Yeah, it doesn't bother me that much. I've kind of become used to deny, and then suddenly, boop, there it is. You know, when specs get leaked of different things, and then they say, oh no, we're not ready to comment on that, or you know, it's par for the course these days. You know.
If I could stop hitting the mute button. Well, if the other thing that I don't like, and I think he's going to do it again when Linux fails horrendously and he has to go back to Windows, is he's much more vitriolic about it. You know, it's not just deny, it's attack somebody else. In the first case, it's the case of Sony. In this case, it's Windows 8. Which by all accounts, and that would be four or five people I've personally talked to, Steam runs fine on it. They have no issues. End of story, really. So yeah, that's also too why I'm a little bit more, or maybe not, cantankerous about this than I usually am, and why I wasn't really super sure how to handle this story last week, because we already knew it was coming. Glacinator, your thoughts on any of that? Does it bother you? Are they just liars? Should we not believe them anymore? So on and so forth. Take it any way you want.
Oh, geez. I mean, by this point, I mean, I really honestly don't necessarily care anymore. Just because I still feel PO'd from the whole let's take Mac off and everything. And I know that has nothing to do with this at all. But I mean, Valve has gotten to the point where there's just so much circle jerking around it, and there's so much hype, and that's what they're doing. They're building hype that I just there's gonna be a lot of fluff involved, you know, in what they're saying. So honestly, like, you have to take everything with a grain of salt. I honestly don't care what's going on with this at all. So
yes, we'll get back to the bag thing in a moment. I guess the second thing is that we haven't talked about before. And we're not going to so much do a prediction like you were quizzing me about, John, on Facebook, but I want a rough guess from you gentlemen. First off, Glace, we'll start with you. How much do you think this device is going to cost?
Oof. I'm going to say $345.
Okay, let me find a way to write that down. I've got like 7,000 things and not paying any attention. John, what do you think as far as price goes?
I don't think it's going to cost any more than $350. I think they'd be crazy if they want to enter the market. I don't think they want to go any higher than that. They don't want to pull a Sony on themselves. As much as the machine, I mean, I have to imagine that the machine is going to have to be able to play most games, that, you know, like I compare it to the PC model. It's not going to be a super high end PC in that little thing, of course, but it's going to have to play some of the games that they're going to be selling on it. So, I would assume it'll be comparable in processing power to your Wii U's and PS4 and Xbox 720s, or so. Yeah, you don't want to go any higher than 350. I'm gonna go on a limb and say 300, even $299.
I'm gonna be an asshole and say like 450 to 500 because these pricks are also arrogant. so that comes to the next best question I can think of, and then John, I'm gonna throw it to you. Anything else you think we should talk about? Is there a damn? I think we might have skirted around the edges of this the last time we discussed it, or the last time we discussed whatever Newell was babbling about. Is there a damn market for it? Yes or no? John, start.
I think there could be if they're able to sell it the right way. If the way Steam works today, where you can get games for, like, if let's say it's download only, which I assume is what it would be, just through Steam Store. If the pricing remains the same on this thing for games as it is on Steam, where your day one copies are, like, the PC version is always $10 cheaper than what it is in the stores for a regular price game. Like, Dishonored came out at $49, whereas $59 for Xbox, that kind of stuff. And if they can get away with having the same sort of sales And those kinds of low prices for games, they could really do it, I think. But if it's you know, same as everybody else, every game is $60, you know, it'll be tougher. But I think they if their pricing is right, they can make a go of it.
Well, that's not so much Valve having a sale. Traditionally, PC games have been $10 cheaper than console.
Right.
That's tending to go away now, but that's been the tradition.
Fair enough. But I guess I guess my point still stands. If they can retain that same pricing structure of the PC market on their home console, I think they'll have an advantage.
Right. I was just pointing it out, or I was just saying that so that our audience didn't go, wow, Valve gets better deals? Because they... I apologize. I should have said that first, too. Because
fair enough.
I think you're correct. I think that's a point, and I'm giving no quarter to Valve. I love every employee there, minus Newell, and whatever crap he's smoking. But I just want to make sure that everybody understood, the listeners understood, that that's kind of a traditional PC thing. I'm seeing more and more of them, like the Call of Duties and Battlefield, going $59.99 right out the gate.
Yeah.
Something like Dishonored, it's smart marketing to, you know, make it $49.99. But that also will be a point in their favor. So, okay. Glacinator, bottom line, yes or no, is a disgruntled Mac user... do you think there's going to be a market for this thing?
I think that's going to be really necessary for them to distinguish that even though it is a console, that it's different than the other consoles. And whether it be pricing, like John mentions, or and how it connects to the PC, however they're going to implement that. I mean, for people like me that don't really understand Valve Steam that much because they refuse to acknowledge my existence... it's very complicated for me to get into something like this because it can be so restrictive. And that may sound weird because, Valve has always been considered a pretty open company with what they're doing. But at the same time, it's sort of hard to get into it for new people. Like, the difference between having, the Steam Box and, the Wii is astronomical. The Steam and the Steam Box is technical, you know, and not a lot of people are going to understand exactly what it is. So I think they're going to have to do a good job of explaining it to people that aren't already Valve Steam fans what's going on. Because I still understand what's going on.
Hell, neither do I, because the details have been so muddled and not released. Here's my problem with giving you an answer on whether there's a market for this thing. I'm not sure Newell and Valve care. I think this is a ginormous child tantrum against Microsoft. They're trying to bait people into switching to Linux on Steam. He's done nothing but trash Windows 8 when I've heard of no... known issues or major issues using Steam on Windows 8 or playing Minecraft for that matter. He's saying that this is just basically going to be the evolution, or I've heard something similar, that this is going to be the evolution of the PC. It'll be Steam in your home, this, that, and the other thing. So I'm not sure that they care if there's a market for it. I think this is more of a toddler fit. If I was to force myself to give an answer, which I'm going to do, I'd say that they're in for pretty rough sailing. And I think that's contrary to what I said the last time we talked about this, but the more I thought about it, if you're going for somebody who's a console gamer, like John, let's say, you've heard John illustrate numerous times how he does not like to tinker with his PC. So he would be somebody that's a potential market for this thing. The problem is, most of the people I know that are like John, play what they can play what they want on PC until it gets too annoying for them, own multiple consoles, and they're pretty happy. you know, with that arrangement. Patrick's the same way. You know, Gleisner would probably play more quote unquote computer games. They actually made him for his computer. You know, and so, and then you have the hardcore Linux users. Are they going to respond to this thing? Because there's going to become this point where Linux is not this cult affair anymore that they are lords and masters of. It is going to become more mainstream because that's Newell's goal. Whether it's ever been stated or not, all his bitching and rambling, that's been Newell's goal, is to shove Linux up the ranks to, you know, to kind of up yours to Windows. And so there's going to be, I would think, some backlash from the Linux user base or existing Linux user base. And on top of that, let's say for people who aren't gamers, like the original Wii crowd, there's no use for this device in their lives, from what I can see. They use a computer to play Facebook games and email, and in the case of the males, probably watch porn. So there's really no use for this thing either. So I just, my gut feeling is I cannot see how this is all going to work unless it's just a giant tantrum in an attempt to get Microsoft to do what he wants, which we don't know what that is. That's pure 100% speculation, out my ass guess. So, you know, I don't know. That's why, as you can see, by the way, I'm rambling and jumping from one point to the other, even worse than usual. I can't process all of this stuff. There's too many different elements here that tells me we're not aware of everything yet. There's pieces to this puzzle missing.
Yeah, I agree with you in that I can see that there being a bit of spite in this against Microsoft from Gabe's part. But there has to be some business case that makes them think that this can work. And, you know, I mean, as far as, you know, pushing Linux on people goes, it's funny, but it's, I mean, if you are someone who makes the switch to Linux and plays Steam on Linux, or runs on it, you've volunteered to become a beta tester. You know what I mean? Because if their machine is going to be Linux based with Steam on it, well, your computer is, you've effectively turned your computer into a Steam box that they can tweak and take data from in terms of how Steam works well on that operating system. I'm not surprised at all that he's pushing or encouraging people to make a switch.
Yeah, but isn't that okay? Let's say you're someone like you and I, John. How many games do you have on Steam?
A lot. I can tell you exactly. I have 55 games on Steam.
I have roughly 60, 65. Do all of those currently play on the Linux version of Steam?
Well, that's a good question.
I highly doubt it.
Probably not, yeah.
So what is my incentive, especially if we're talking Windows 7? And there's another problem. How many gamers have actually switched to Windows 8? Or potential customers have switched to Windows 8.
Not many.
I'm kind of kicking myself. I think I missed the cheap upgrade bonanza. I think the price has gone up now. But I just made up my mind. I kind of fell into the same camp John did when we talked about it. I'm just gonna, when I buy a new PC, then I'll get whatever operating system's on it. Fuck it. So I'm using Windows 7, 60 Steam games. I'll be nice and say, let's say that 20 of those Steam games will run on the Linux version. What's my incentive? What's my incentive to switch now? And what's my incentive to buy their Steam box if again, I'm not guaranteed that all my games are going to play on it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, you're totally right. There isn't much incentive to do it, but there are people who will. I mean, as much as it's a vast minority right, you know, today, it's still beginning that process of getting that of getting people into that mindset, you know?
Well, like I said, well, and there's also the issue, too. Now, Ubuntu's, or however the fuck you say it, is different. It's the most stable of all the Linux platforms. But it ain't Windows. You know, that's the other thing, too, is it as stable as Windows? And you can make all the blue screen joke of death jokes you want. We're not in 1999 anymore. You know? Unless I'm messing with it, I have almost zero problems with 7 crashes of that thing. You know, it's like, am I guaranteed that if I switch to Linux? And then on top of that, you have Mac gamers who do exist.
Mm-hmm.
You're shutting the door on them in the name of we don't want to work with closed off systems. You know,
I still find that ridiculous that they're flipping the bird at the Mac guys. That is pretty stupid.
You want to know how many games I have on Mac for Steam? I have 6.
Well, didn't Steam or didn't Valve pull a similar stunt when they did the Mac beta? Didn't they kind of talk out their ass as usual and say that they were going to really push to get games moved to Mac and this, that, and the other thing when the Mac beta happened, Glacinator? Or am I crazy?
Yeah, it was a huge deal when it first launched. And they started cranking stuff out those first few days. I mean, Half-Life 2 was added, you know, in less than a month and everything. And then they just, like, stopped. There's, like, we're done, you know?
Well, and that's the other thing, John, going back to my sincere belief that this is, you know, this is just a really expensive and potentially business-destroying tantrum. Is they've already worked with a closed system for how long? When did Mac become available on Steam, Glace? I know it was before we were doing this podcast, because we would have talked about it, and I don't have any recollection.
I think it was either late 2009 or early 2010.
Yeah, that'd be right before we started the podcast, as best I can remember. I don't know, we're going into our third year, and I can't fucking remember. But I want to say late 2009. I think you're correct, and so they've been with it. They've been, you know, they've had Steam for a closed system, using the dreaded audio air quotes because audio air quotes tone of voice, and they're now throwing a fit because Windows went to supposedly a closed system. There's too much information missing here for this to make any sense to me. I personally am not going to buy one. If it comes out, I personally can't see myself having any use for it, because I've already got too much electronics.
Yeah, I can't say that I'm going to jump on one of those either. It's an interesting, you know, experiment to me, but I think I have enough systems as it is.
You in the same boat, Glace?
Yes.
Well, if you were away from school, let's say if you were away from school and had a job as an animator doing whatever, you know, you intend to do,
mm-hmm.
I'm assuming you would own both, meaning PC and Mac.
Yes.
I like to put, again, that's kind of for our listeners in case we pick up any newer ones. Glacinator is not a hardcore Mac enthusiast, whatever that looks like. It's more of a school thing. Being a broke college student doesn't afford you the opportunity. Hell, being me doesn't afford you the opportunity to own both at the prices Apple charges. But So you'd really have no use for this either. You'd just play games on PC and maybe Mac occasionally.
Yeah. As I said, I literally have no interest in this whatsoever.
I
I just see too damn many possible ways for this to go up in flames. I just can't. I just don't. You know, usually when we discuss something that's been announced but still speculation, we can kind of come up with at least a common theme that the three of us sort of agree on. I have no clue what the hell's going on with this. Other than we now know it exists, and once again, they're a bunch of lying assholes.
Yeah, I think you're right what you said earlier about there's more. There's the whole story isn't that there's more to come. There has to be some hook to this thing than just that you can, you know, yeah, you can get the same games on our box too.
Like I said, rampant speculation. This is pure rampant speculation, but it's a, and I think I might have babbled it at the beginning of the story, but it's a thought that crossed my mind is there's more to the Newell versus the Microsoft empire than just Windows 8. Mm-hmm. Did it have something to do with this console thing? Did it have something to do with putting Steam on Xbox Live, much like they've done, well, much like they... Speaking of that, how's the full Steam integration going on PS3, John? Have you checked into that lately?
It's just the one game still.
Portal 2, I think, and I think there's actually two or three. I thought that that by now PS3 fanboys were going to have full Portal or full Steam on their PS3.
Mm-hmm. Didn't happen.
I'm not really sure I would trust a company that can't fully integrate into Mac, they can't fully integrate into Sony's PS3, that they now love and isn't a repugnant piece of shit. Yeah. I'll tell you what, audience at home, you got any ideas, feel free to chime in. We'll give you the social media at the end of the show, because I completely forgotten here until just the last second about the whole PS3 thing. Well, okay, I made fun of him so I could do my old Bloomba thing at the beginning, but to show you how interested I was in that, I forgot why the hell he'd waddled out on stage. Okay, so let's move from one potential would-be console maker to, which was our discussion topic, to an actual console maker. One that's making it harder and harder for Glacinator to exist every day. Nintendo had their press conference, which I think this used to be like the Megaton thing, didn't it? And now it's called Nintendo Direct. I don't know. I get so confused. Nintendo does such weird shit. Essentially, they talked about what's coming for the Wii U in the next few months. I'll give you some just the highlights, and then John and Glacinator are going to have to deal with it because I didn't pay any attention. Let's see. These are just the highlights. In other words, they're just the topic headers from the report I'm reading. Looks like the Wii U OS will expand. Looks like you're going to have to pay again to download your Nintendo and Super Nintendo games on Virtual Console. Good luck with that. The first NES game will be Balloon Fight. The Wonderful 101 trailer was shown. New Wii U game. Also Bayonetta 2. Looks like Mario Kart. Another Mario action game. A new party game from the creators of Wii Party. Yarn Yoshi, which may be something I'll come back to, because I'm glad to see they actually did something else with Yarn. Shin Megami Tenacity meets Fire Emblem. That actually might be kind of cool for RPG heads like me. And finally, the one that made Glacinator squeal like, well, not finally, but the one that made Glacinator squeal like a little girl, HD remake of Zelda The Wind Waker. And more, but that's all it says. Looks like Monolith Soft is doing something. Blah, 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 blah. Okay, gentlemen. Glacinator, we'll start with you, and you bet I'm kind of hoping you have more than just the Zelda remake. What did you see that you liked out of this announcement, or anything you heard about the announcement, so on and so forth?
Oh, well, I mean, I guess I'll get the obvious out of the way first. I sort of had to bite my tongue after this thing, after what I said last week about blah, blah, blah. Mad Nintendo fan Wind Waker derp a derp, you know, and then here comes Nintendo, like, oh, by the way, we listened to Wonder Pod, and just to please you, Glazier, here's a HD Wind Waker, so now shut up, please. So that's what that felt like, and I feel sort of like an idiot now, so I mean, it is what it is. It looks interesting, but whether or not I get it is going to depend on whether or not they change anything involving the game. If it's just a straight-out remake with HD graphics, then I can pass on that. That doesn't really interest me. I could probably find a mod somewhere online to play it. But if it's like updated with touchscreen controls and they try to integrate the, you know, like the maps in the game on the touchscreen and like you turn the boat with the pad or something, I don't know, something like that, where it feels like something new, then I'll probably end up getting it. And I'll probably end up being, like I said, the biggest hypocrite on the earth. But other than that, like you said, Bruce, the Yoshi thing was the only other thing that really had me super interested. And I had wanted to get Kirby's Epic Yarn when that came out, but I just never got around to it. So, I mean, if I do end up getting a Wii U down the road, this definitely looks interesting. I've always loved the Yoshi games, Yoshi's Story, Yoshi Island. I mean, it doesn't matter. And I complain a lot on here about games being too hard, and then I fuss about it when they are too hard. I mean, being too easy, and then I fuss about when they are too hard. And Yoshi's Island, Yoshi's Story, has always been a very easy game, but it never really bothered me. So I think that it's about time that Yoshi made a comeback for this, I guess, not sort of easy, but sort of like more simplified version of Nintendo games that Nintendo is putting out recently. So, and also, it looks pretty cool, too. I mean, it's just one screenshot, I think, but just from that one screenshot, it looks interesting. So that's what got me interested, excited.
There was nothing in this announcement that was must stampede to GameStop and buy one.
No, I mean it was like they're talking about some multiplayer game coming out, and it most of that felt like more of the same. Just Yoshi and Wind Waker had me interested, even though Wind Waker is more of the same.
I have to say that the thing that made me laugh the hardest was when I was reading through this list, and I watched a couple of the trailers, I didn't watch the actual announcement, was just I'm not sure if juxtaposition is the correct word, but it's the one I'm going to slaughter and use anyway, of cute things such as Yoshi in Yarn and the expanded Miiverse, this, that, and the other thing, and Bayonetta 2, boobs and tight catsuit. That's hair. It's like, talk about your mixed messages, Nintendo. Could you make up your mind? I think
cross appeal.
So what we need is Bayonetta writing Yarn Yoshi as he shoots.
Oh, Bayonetta might be in the next Smash Brothers. I just thought about that.
I was just gonna say the same thing.
My gosh, that'd be
awesome.
Yeah, and then next year it will be Bayonetta's Epic Yarn, and it's all her hair.
The whole game's just her hair.
Just as well.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that is true. Her hair is only like, I don't know, 5.5-6 foot long. John, as an owner of the Wii U, what did you see that has you excited, or were you hoping for more? What was your take on all these announcements outside of holy shit, HD Wind Waker?
Yeah, I can't say that there was a whole lot of megatons dropped in this one, but it's definitely some really reassuring news for Wii U owners because it's been so dry since the actual release of the Wii U, because it started off with a pretty strong launch, and there really hadn't been much talk about what's coming down the pipes, and it really seems with these Nintendo Direct things that Nintendo is really trying to control the flow of information. As much as we talk about, you know, companies deny, rumors, Nintendo is like, well, here's what we got for the next 6 months, bang. And that's it, or 3 months, boom, and we'll talk to you again in 3 months when we have more information, and there's like it's a little more transparent. Now they did say pretty vague things like, oh, we have a new Zelda game coming down the road, and we have a new 3D Mario. You know, surprise, surprise, surprise. You know, I'm not shocked. It's good to hear that stuff, but it's not a shocker. And then there's no dates, of course, because that stuff's down, you know, way down the road. But like, you know, the Yoshi game looks. I mean, as Glay said, that screenshot looks really neat. I'm happy to see that the Epic Yarn team is going to get another game and an HD. I mean, that Kirby's Epic Yarn looked really good on the Wii, and that was just a 2D platformer. And, you know, it was gorgeous. I don't know if you guys have played it, but I mean, I got it a couple of months ago, and it's a beautiful game. And now with HD graphics, I mean, that screenshot looks incredible to me. The detail that it could potentially get with, because everything has all that cloth texture, and you know, the yarn is there, so it's all very textile, and I think it would definitely look really, really great. The game by Monolith Soft, they're the guys who did Xenoblade that came out last year, and Xenoblade it's really loved by a lot of the JRPG fans that are out there. I mean, I've heard lots of comments, and it's got great reviews, and it's been touted as the JRPG of last year, in a time where there aren't a whole lot of those coming out, and so to see them with a new project makes me happy that it's on the, you know, and it's going to be on the Wii U, and it's going to be released in the West. So, you know, because Xenoblade was there was a lot of doubt whether that was actually going to come out in the West. There was a big petition and, you know, begging Nintendo to release these JRPGs in the West because they weren't going to. And turns out they were successful. So successful games. So great. You know, it makes me happy that they're catering. And I joked about cross appeal, but it's great that there's games coming. They're trying to get a bunch of different kinds of players from the simple child, you know, kid like Yoshi type stuff to the JRPG set. Even the Bayonetta is, you know, is a joke, but it's true. Like, there's something coming for everyone, and that makes me happy as a Wii U owner.
I mean, basically, you know, it's more the same from Nintendo, but what I like about this, outside of the Yoshi's Yarn thing and the Fire Emblem Tensei or whatever crossover, is they're doing this at the dead part of the year. Now, I want to, of course, apologize for the lack of games right after launch, blah, 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 which just popped into my head, a discussion topic for a future show, potentially next week. But I think this is a smart move on Nintendo's part, and if I'm thinking correctly, the first time they've done it this time of year, because now you have given people some hints, some stuff to speculate about, which we're going to get to here in a second, which gives you time or gives you a little bit of publicity before, say, GDC, which was less about hyping stuff last year and actually more about game developers having a conference. And the big one gives you more time before the big one, E3. So I kind of think this is a smart move on Nintendo's part. The last question I want to ask you guys actually goes back to Iwata apologizing. I'm not sure if that apology was really necessary. I'm not sure if it was a good call either. I mean, it's always nice, but launch lineups have been launch lineups since launch lineups were launch lineups. I mean, mm-hmm. They kind of. I'm not really sure. It's a nice gesture, but I'm not really sure it was the best move. Glacier, let's start with you. Do you think that was a good call on their part, or do you think gamers just like being disgruntled with crappy launch lineups at this point, since every console seems to have one?
No, I can sort of see where he's coming from. I mean, besides the major launches, I mean, Zombie U, Mario U, and has Rayman even come out yet? I don't know if it's even...
It comes out in February, I believe.
Yeah, it's not even out yet. So, I mean, I understand where he's coming from, where John sort of is iffy about, you know, where the games are right now. I think it's perfectly viable thing to say.
Well, something that just popped into what's left of my brain. They pushed back a few, didn't they?
Mm-hmm.
That may, okay, now his apology makes a little bit more sense. I still stand by whatever I just babbled out 2 minutes ago, but it makes more sense to me now that I've recalled that they had to push some games back. John, unnecessary, just about right, blah, blah, blah. You know what?
Yeah, I'd say it was about right. I mean, I don't think they dwelled on it too long, and they really didn't need to. So, you know, the thing about the eShop, for example, on the Wii U, there's been nothing added to it until yesterday, and so you know it did feel dry post launch.
Fair enough. Again, we'll give you social media contacts that our robot Facebook army never uses anyway. So if you'd like to tell us what you think about the Wii U announcement, this next bit of business is really for me. It's really Bruce McGee selfish time. I'm going to give these guys an opportunity to chime in if they so choose, but I told them before we started the show that this was really going to be for me, because it pissed me off. One of these things, longtime listeners of the show will have heard me rant about 1,000 times before. Sorry, I'm doing it again because douche waffles can't seem to get it. This came from my Google Plus news stream, which is usually, believe it or not, filled with a lot of tech news, gaming news, at least little hints at stuff I should go look at. It's really been super useful with some of the people I've started following or friended or whatever. Unlike my Facebook, where it's usually pictures of cats. So, anyway, and I ignored it the first time. I said, no, I'm just not going there. And then it got posted again by somebody else, and I went, okay, fuck it, I'm doing it. I'll get a nice little rant for the show. This Tumblr is called X-Surface Tumblr. Why is it called that? Because Mr. Douche Waffle Wafflington is anonymous. He is an unnamed. We'll call him Douche X for the rest of this particular piece. And as you'll find here in a minute, it's rather comical, and I will be coming back to the fact that he is himself anonymous. Now, here's what Douche X did. His headline is X-Surface, don't believe everything you read. I am a gamer. I don't work for Microsoft. I, like most other gamers, thanks for including me, dickhead, am sick of seeing endless rumors and speculation citing anonymous sources or insiders with no evidence, no proof, no guarantee. Blah, 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 blah. Stop it right there. Duh, you freaking one brain cell running two eyeballed idiot. It's called ignore it. Rumors, speculation, innuendo, noodle waddling to the Oompa Loompa song. It happens in every freaking industry known to man. It's called you take it with a grain, or in the case of Newell, a truckload of salt. All right? Does it get a little old at times? Yes. As somebody who's not only a gamer, but has to wade through the cesspool of the gaming blogs from time to time, not as bad now as I've gotten rid of Kotaku out of my RSS reader, but it happens, okay? It just happens. So I'm getting a little sick of this. I'm tired of rumors and insiders and this, that, and the other thing. Yeah, go read some other media. Trust me, it happens there too. I'm not saying it's right or wrong. I don't really care. As you've heard us say on this show numerous times, when we're talking about a rumor, John, Glace, myself say rumor. It's a rumor about 10,000 times, just so everybody's clear. So now, back to what Douche X did. So what he did was he set up a completely anonymous Gmail account. Bravo for him. Maybe he's got two brain cells that's running the eyeballs. And he sends a fake story out about, I'm guessing, I didn't read this entire thing, something that was involving Microsoft and the X Surface, which I'm assuming was a hybrid bastard child of the Surface tablet and the Xbox. And he's got a couple little cutesy pictures of his Gmail inbox that I don't give a shit about. And he goes on to crow about the fact that by 9:58 a.m. Grand Median Time, I was already in the news. And it started spreading and spreading and spreading. Well, here's the list of sites that bit his news. Yahoo. Yeah, they have a gaming section, I know. CNET. Yeah. Gizmodo. Again,
VentureBeat, newer but a little surprising. Tech Digest, never heard of them. VG, Video Game 24/7, that one was a little surprising. And Now Gamer. Not exactly in most cases what I would call the leading edge of the gaming blogs. So then he goes on for his summation, which is what really pushed me over the edge. And it's in big, bold letters, and I'm not even going to read it because he's douche X. This is not journalism. No shit, Sparky. How many times must I say that the only people claiming or attempting or faking being journalists, for the most part, in the games industry are jackasses trying to justify the money they wasted on a journalism degree. I mean, you have people like Ben Couture of the Penny Arcade Report, who comes as close as I've seen to an old-school, honest-to-God journalist. And there are a few others like him. But for the most part, in this day and age, no matter what industry, journalism is dead. It's been dead. Got it? So, being some smug, I remind you, anonymous, little twat hammer, sending in fake news and getting a few people to fall for it, you're not exposing anything. This isn't an expose of massive proportions. It wouldn't have been if you got IGN, Destructoid, Joystick, 1UP, whoever else you think is the top of the heap, to fall for it. In fact, if anything, you're making it worse. You know? So, I guess the bottom line here, for the listening audience, if you don't already get it, please get this. When it says rumor, it's a rumor. It's not fact. I don't necessarily love inside sources or unnamed sources either. But please think with the brain that you were born with, and you'll be okay. And on top of that, I don't think this legion of gamers that this knucklehead is talking about really read the news that much. I honestly don't think so. I think they listen to podcasts, not this one. And other things of that nature to get their news digested down to them, spoon-fed to them, if you will, although I don't particularly like that term. And to, finally, to this guy specifically, you're a coward and an idiot, because if you're so damn sure of yourself, why are you hiding behind an anonymous name when you made this post? There's no picture. I'm looking with my wonderful little tablet. There's no picture. Lots of little X and spy versus spy crap. If you're so outraged by the lack of journalism, why don't you put a face to this? My face is everywhere. Unfortunately for everybody else. My name is everywhere. Bruce McGee. Search it on Google. Sorry about the penis pictures. So, and since I've now talked too much and I'm running out of breath, this just, again, I mean, you're an idiot. All right, guys, I feel better. Not sure if anybody else does at this point. John, I'll give you the first crack of the gun. Anything you would like to add, subtract, deny anything, hang up on the call now. The floor is yours.
Yeah, I do think it was a pretty dick move, and especially to be so smug about it in the way he was very proud of what he had done, as you put it, an expose. Not really. I think if there's any gamer worth their salt, we'll be checking better websites than CNET and Yahoo Games. Was that one? They're going to better, more reputable. I mean, there are some video game blogs, that are a little bit poofy, but I think the good ones do check some stuff anyway, or at least most of their stuff. So, it really didn't do much for me, that's for sure.
I lost it, but he had an addendum. Apparently, one of the CV computer and video games.com, a Euro site,
editors called him an 18-year-old who needed to get a job and was completely rude and unprofessional to him. He didn't specify and wasn't sure if CVG fell for his hoax or not. But that just pissed him off more, and I thought it was kind of funny. And he's like, of course, his response was, no, I have a job to start, and the other thing. Well, fair enough. So does everybody. I mean, except like 16 and 15-year-olds, and some of them too. But it's just like, the CVG guy should have known better, but it's like, his outrage is twice as much now. I'm empowered to do more of these. And, fucking Jesus. Now I'm done, for sure, for good and for always. Claysonator, the floor is now yours, good sir, if you've got anything to add.
To quote one of my favorite kids cartoons author, you really think someone would do that? Just go on the internet and tell lies? And that is all.
Well, that's like, have you guys seen the new State Farm commercials where the woman's line that you're supposed to chuckle at is they can't put it on the internet if it's not true. And, you know, it wow, that wasn't funny, was it? but it is that. Okay, so it wasn't funny, but that is the concept. You know, that I think there are people out there that believe they can't put it on the internet if it's not true. You know, so maybe that's his target audience to crusade for. I don't know. There were just enough elements there that pissed me off that I said, okay, haven't ranted real good on the show in a while. Let's go ahead and do that. But you're also absolutely correct, Glacinator. And finally tonight, our final bit of business and positive stuff. And luckily the guys stopped me from doing the positive story the last segment and then doing my rant. They do help me as best they can for someone who's unhelpable. Bungie helps a boy find his smile again. Halo creator Bungie just made a boy's day. 5-year-old boy who spent 9 hours in surgery having a liver transplant. Bungie heard about the boy Brady's plight on Reddit, where his father had been posting. A lady by the name of Christine, representing Bungie Studios, went to visit Brady at the Seattle Children's Hospital after his successful operation. He got a card, Halo t-shirt, and a full-size replica of Carter's helmet from Reach, so on and so forth. And I just want to say bravo, Bungie. You know, I give to Child's Play every year. I'm not a humongous fan of when kids have to go through trauma of any kind, and so to see a game studio of any game studio, even ones maybe I don't particularly like, which isn't true in Bungie's case, does this, I'm going to recognize them on the show. So there you go. John, your turn if you want to add anything.
Yeah, totally well done. I think it's a nice thing to see anyone give back to the kids who love what they do, so yeah.
Well, the other, I'll get to that in a second. Glacinator, floor is yours.
I mean, we've always known that Bungie's been a very user-friendly company, whether that user be someone that plays their games or in real life. So, yay.
The other aspect of this story I liked, and I bet, John, you can comment on this as a parent, because it looks like you're going down this road as well, was how they talk, the parents and the child talked about him playing Halo.
Mm-hmm.
Because it is a over 18 game, let's say, or rated M for mature. Mm-hmm. We don't obviously know if that's the whole truth and nothing but the truth, but I thought that was a great way to put it, and it shows that, you know, there are parents who do care. There are parents who do play games with their children, much as our own very own John does, and I'm sure Pat will soon be. although his son's already sending me messages on Facebook. I got a private one from him the other day. It was,
did you?
Yes, it was the word ass with about 37 S's and an E on the end of it. it was awesome as far as I was concerned. All I said was I was 50-50 split between whether this was you or him.
Anyway, so well, he uses Siri. I thought maybe he fell in a manhole cover.
Like father, like son, I guess.
Yeah, pretty much. I'm pretty sure Thomas might spell better. Anyway, but I like to see that as well. I know it's, you know, we don't live in a perfect world, and it's not always the case. But when you can see that on top of the feel good first part, because the kids just had major surgery, that I kind of like that as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I can see Peter, you know, kind of getting the bug in his own special way too, which is cool to see.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think it's great. When parents, you know, are interactive with what their kids are doing and not being passive about it.
Well, and in a gaming sense, I think that's better validation that gaming will continue after we're gone, or when we get too old to do it, than any mainstream success or what have you would be, as far as I'm concerned. So there you go. See, even with a rant, we ended the show on a happy note. You'd like to get in touch with us. We have multiple ways to do it. I'm going to try tweaking this again and see if it works. We have Facebook. We have YouTube. We have iTunes. We have Twitter. Those are all, in some shape or form, WonderPod, WonderPodOnline.com, @WonderPodOnline. And we also have a website, which is WonderPodOnline.com. There, you can find all kinds of gaming posts, little wrestling, little fiction sometimes, little sports, this podcast, which is important to note because it also includes an embedded player where you don't have to download the show if you don't want to junk up your hard drive with MP3s. Oh, let's see, I covered YouTube. Oh, there's also secondary YouTube channels. Just go to the WonderPod Online YouTube channel, and you can find people like Chris Lloyd, 36We, or Very Young Glacinator. I think even my stinky personal channel might be on there. And if none of that works for you, we also have an email address. It's wonderpodonline@gmail.com, wonderpodonline@gmail.com. Or you can follow me on Twitter if you'd like, instead of the WonderPod stuff, @ORIGIM. Or you can follow John on Twitter.
@JohnKehoe, JohnKehoe.
Until episode 144, I am Bruce McGee, and I think that's the first time I've ever done that well. I'm out of here, people. See ya.
Cheers.
Goodbye.